Good afternoon. This is Megan Barth with RiganBabe.com. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Coming at you live from Sin City, Las Vegas. Also, 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. Now, if you've been a longtime listener, you know that every Tuesday and Thursday, I take this mic for an hour, and then Wayne Allen Root takes over his show at 4 o'clock. But for those that are just tuning in for the first time, perhaps you are listening beyond Palm Springs and Las Vegas on 790talknow.com, and I welcome you to the party. It's a big party we have. It's a party of the truth. I use this microphone as my blowtorch of truth in order to expose the lies on both sides of the aisle, but in particularly the Democrats. You know, the Democrats lie like rugs, especially when it comes to this Obamacare fiasco that they threw this whole entire country and turned people's lives upside down. And so there's going to be a big vote happening on Thursday on that. And, you know, is it truly repeal? Illegal immigrants will still be able to get entitlements through this health care plan. So I don't really think that's a good repeal effort. It's not introducing the free market until stage three or something like that. And if you want to reduce costs in health care or in any type of situation, you always introduce competition. So we will see. We have a Freedom Caucus, the conservatives that are fighting back. The bill might lose, enough votes to not pass. And they're claiming perhaps 30. And if it's 30, the bill is dead on arrival. But Donald Trump went to the Hill today to lobby for the bill in order to get at least some action and promise kept that he made to the American people. But again, full repeal is really what we're looking for. So we're going to see how this plays out. They also say the Republicans, many of the moderate Republicans like Paul Ryan, that this bill is necessary to get passed in order to bring on tax reform. And I don't really understand why we're dancing this dance. I don't understand why we're helping Democrats at all. And I said this last week, screw you, Democrats. You're the one that created this mess. You pay for it. This is your accountability, your responsibility. This is your chaos that you created in order to usher in single-payer health care. And that's exactly what Hillary Clinton would have done if she wasn't such a liar and lost the election. But, you know, I always resort back to quotes, you know, and I kind of look whether it's quotes from Reagan or quotes from Thomas Sowell or whatever conservative thinkers I can find. And one quote stands out for me, and I have it as a favorite on my Reagan Baby fan page on Facebook. And if you're not following me on Facebook, I encourage you to do so. I'm very active on my Facebook site, Reagan Baby. Also Twitter, you can tweet me Reagan_baby. But in just after this next break, at about 3:20, I'm going to be joined by a conservative Latina who is going to become my first sponsor. I'm very excited. Her name is Irma Aguirre, and she is a business owner, a small business owner, who has also been impacted by Obamacare. She is also a Trump supporter. And because she was a Trump supporter and hosted him at her restaurant in a Hispanic roundtable discussion, her business was picketed. She was levied with death threats. Her employees received death threats. Her business was assaulted. Her reputation was assaulted on various social media networks like Yelp and such, where the leftists, the progressives, were leaving awful messages trying to disparage her business and create hardship. But this is what the left does when they don't get their way. They make a lot of noise, they riot, they create chaos, much like they did with Obamacare. But PJ O'Rourke is always one of my favorite guys to go back to. He's got a sense of humor that lightens things up a bit. And this comes from a story of his, and he was with a guy by the name of Andrew Ferguson. And he says, not long after Andrew Ferguson and I met, we were driving down Pennsylvania Avenue and encountered some or another noisy pinko demonstration. How come, I asked Andy, whenever something upsets the left, you see immediate marches and parades and rallies with signs already printed and rhyming slogans already composed. Whereas whenever something upsets the right, you see two members of the Young Americans for Freedom waving a 6-inch American flag. We have jobs, said Andy. We have jobs. And isn't that so true? Because we have built such a huge entitlement class in this country, specifically with illegal immigrants, that they are demanding now that health care is a right. They are demanding now that illegal immigration be normalized. They are wrapping themselves and shrouding themselves in the Constitution, whereby they have no right to do that, especially if they don't assimilate or take active measures to become citizens. Where is it in the Constitution that says I need to pay for someone else's health care or someone else's food or subsidize someone who can't work, doesn't want to work, and is actually making more money by not working, by being on the government dole? I have a brother in Illinois. He lives in Illinois. And he started a business when he was 19 years old. And he built a really nice business in remodeling homes and restoring 19th century homes. And along the way, he picked up some homes to keep and to rent out. And what he found was that if he wanted to rent, say, a 4-bedroom home, instead of putting it on Craigslist or putting a sign out in the front yard and letting the free market pay for what he believed he could get, I think it was like $1,200 a month or something for a 4-bedroom home back in Illinois. If he converted those homes to Section 8 homes, he would get $1,600 a month from the federal government. This is no lie. $1,600 a month, as opposed to the free market offering $1,200. And most of his renters under Section 8 had big screen TVs. You know, all the women, of course, had their hair done, their nails done. They had new cars parked in the driveway. They had their SNAP cards, their EBT cards. They had their child care taken care of. And one lady in particular stood out to me from a story he told me. And it was her financial obligation under Section 8 rules and whatever the government had deemed her to pay in accordance with the rules was $20 a month towards rent. $20. Now, keep in mind, her hair is done, her nails are done, her kids are being taken care of by government dollars, our dollars. She's not working, because at the time there was no work requirement for welfare in Illinois. They've since kind of changed that, I believe. And of course, she has the new TV and the new car, and she fell 3 months behind on rent. She couldn't find $60. Her hair alone was probably $100. Her cell phone bill a month was probably $100. But she couldn't find the means to pay rent. And this is the type of entitlement class that has been growing and burgeoning, especially under the last 8 years. And so when we look at government as taxpaying citizens, we aren't getting our return on the investment because, number one, government has grown so large that record numbers of tax dollars going into the government isn't reducing the debt. It isn't reducing the deficit. It isn't rebuilding our roads. It isn't providing those in need with what they need, like our veterans, our elderly. But the people that are on the government dole, the people that are in the wagon, are getting all the benefits and more. And so this is the type of government we need to start demanding. And this is why Donald Trump was elected. In order to straighten all this mess out, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's the debt, whether it's the high taxation, whether it's the foreign policy that was left in complete shambles. When he says he inherited a mess, he inherited one hell of a mess. And so while all of us working stiffs are busting our butts and we don't have time to protest and to threaten other people's businesses, after this break, I'm going to talk to Irma Aguirre. And Irma Aguirre, a small business owner, owner of my favorite Mexican restaurant in this town in Las Vegas. If you ever come to visit, you got to check out El Sombrero, right down from Fremont Street. It's a great night to be had. She's going to join me and tell me what her experience has been as a small business owner from an economic standpoint. And then as well as a business owner, Latina, supporter of Trump, and what her experience was with the radical leftists. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, coming at you live in Las Vegas, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, 98.1 FM in the Coachella Valley in Palm Springs. And, you know, I've been I'm a California refugee. I moved to Las Vegas just under a couple years ago. And one of my first visitors was my publicist. And he also has a little side business as a food critic. And he runs a little blog for the Washington Times. And so as a food critic, he said, you know, pick out some local Las Vegas restaurants. I'll pick out some that I want to go to. And, you know, for the 5 days I'm there, we'll eat like kings and queens. And I said, okay, fine. And so I was doing some research, and I love Mexican food. It's one of my favorites besides pizza. And I stumbled across this restaurant with great reviews. And this was back in like probably a year ago now, April. And I stumbled across this restaurant that just looked really good and really quaint called El Sombrero. And so I said, hey, I've got this restaurant. You know, check it out on Yelp. It's called El Sombrero. It's right up the street past Fremont on Main Street in Las Vegas. Let's go check it out. So we did one night, and he and I both were blown away. And this cat, my publicist, he has eaten at like every five-star swanky place, you know, off the Beltway, near the Beltway, on the Beltway. And even here, we went to Guy Savoy at Caesar's Palace. And that was after, I know, right? And Irma's looking at me right now. But I got to tell you, I'll pick El Sombrero over Guy Savoy any day, okay? Because that's my type of food. Like, I love Mexican food. So in studio with me, I have Irma Aguirre. She's the owner of El Sombrero Restaurant. She's politically active. She is a small business owner. And as a Trump supporter, an early on Trump supporter, when the news got out that she was a Trump supporter, all of the leftist organizations in Nevada ganged up against her on social media as well as physically. And she just showed me a picture of a Hispanic activist giving her the finger while his T-shirt says fight for 15. And then, of course, we have Astrid Silva, who is there to protest as she does so often, who, if you don't know, Astrid Silva is a 28-year-old illegal immigrant, otherwise known as a dreamer, who's known Harry Reid since she was four, but doesn't have any time to find the way to become a citizen. But she has all the time in the world to protest in front of Irma's restaurant. So, Irma, welcome to the Wayne Allen Root Show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, and thank you. You are my first sponsor.
How so exciting.
It is.
Proud.
Well, and I got to say, after I heard that I read in the RJ, I think it was, mm-hmm. that it was shortly after you hosted Donald Trump for a luncheon mm-hmm. with, I think it's a Latino organization that you're involved with here in the state or nationally.
Yes.
And which one is that?
It's the Latino Coalition. It's a national organization. It's a nonpartisan organization mm-hmm. Dedicated to reaching out to small business owners throughout the country.
Very good. Okay, so it's a bunch of Latino small business owners. And if I recall correctly, Donald Trump actually had reached out to the coalition and said...
Actually, they reached out to... the Trump campaign reached out to us directly. Mm-hmm. There were several business owners from the Las Vegas area that were invited to have an audience with Mr. Trump at the time, candidate
mm-hmm.
Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I read about this and I'm like, okay, cool. He's coming to Vegas. And then the next thing I read is that you are being stormed by protesters.
Yeah.
You're being assaulted.
Yeah.
You had death threats levied against you and your employees.
Yeah.
And so what I did after I heard that, I was so outraged that my favorite restaurant was being, you know, targeted by the radical violent left,
yeah.
that I pulled out a call to action, and it seemed
worked.
Like it that's
yes,
so
all
good.
Of the Trump supporters came out in droves. In fact, it was so heartwarming because, you know, after listen, I've never been protested for anything ever in my life, and if you've never have been protested, it's quite alarming, you know, to go through something like that. It's actually very terrifying. I mean, you're getting, you know, death threats and hate mail, and, you know, you're just verbally being accosted. And, you know, I'm a nice person and people are usually very nice to me. And so it was quite something to go through. But, you know, you got on the radio and you mentioned the situation, and we had people that came in that said, you know, I was driving on the I-15. I was listening to Megan. I was driving home and I got off the freeway and made a U-turn. And here I am, and give me your menu, and just, I'm not even hungry, but order me whatever because I'm here to support. And that was so heartwarming to me. I saw the worst of people that week and I saw the best of people that week.
And there really are more of us than there are of the protesters.
Well, yeah, it's been phenomenal because, you know, I do still get a lot of Trump supporters. I don't get as many protesters anymore. So thank you very much, because that really, really helped us out.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Sure.
And so as you were being surrounded, really, and you showed me some pictures, you not only were surrounded physically, your restaurant, you know, the doors were somewhat blocked. They had signs, bullhorns, intimidating your customers that were trying to come in and out the door. And these are all from Plan Nevada, the Culinary Union, the SEIU, you know, the typical leftist, radical, violent suspects.
Yeah, correct. You know, so I would imagine, I don't know if these are volunteers or they hire these kids, you know, to go out and, you know, try to shame and harass businesses, small businesses like mine, who try to support our president. Listen, back then, you know, it was just terrible because I was being harassed for participating in the political process. You know, I am an American citizen. I was born in this country. My mother was born in this country. My grandmother was born in this country. I think I'm like the fourth or fifth generation. Politics has always been very important to me because of my father. My father always taught me to be a part of it. And he had quite a love for the political process. And he actually immigrated from Mexico at a time when it was a lot easier to immigrate, you know, into the United States. But he loved this country and he loved everything about it. And he was a Democrat when he registered as a Democrat when he arrived here. And it was during Reagan that he switched to being a Republican, and that's how I became a Republican. So I've been a Republican ever since the day I could vote. And so being part of the political process is very important to me, and that's what I was doing on that particular day. I had a major political candidate that wanted to reach out to small businesses like mine and to speak to Latino business owners. And, you know, I thought it was an amazing thing, a great opportunity. But not only that, I actually supported Donald Trump from the very beginning. He was my first choice from the beginning.
Why was that? Now, see, as a Latina, right, mm-hmm. you would be categorized or labeled as something like, well, how could you be a Trump supporter as a Latina? You know, he disparages Mexicans. And I'm sure you've heard this all before.
Yes.
And there are plenty of Hispanics like Irma Aguirre that were protesting your business. What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, it is very difficult to have a conversation with people that already have that in mind, because all they want to do is to argue, vent, and, you know, get their point across and not really listening to my point of view. But the reason why I supported Donald Trump from the beginning is because, you know, I've been involved in politics for quite a while. And, you know, I was so fed up, like everybody else, with the same mumbo jumbo canned speeches that mean absolutely nothing at the end of the day, and, you know, just a bureaucratic way of thinking and bureaucratic way of doing things. And I appreciated him coming from the private sector. And quite honestly, I mean, you know, he was very candid with both sides. You know, he said a lot of things to the Republicans, you know, that they didn't like either, and to the left. So I just felt that this was a doer, and a big dreamer, a big doer. And I thought that that's something that this country needed.
And I couldn't agree more. So we're going to have to take a break, but you're going to stick around for the next segment?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, we'll be right back with Irma Aguirre, owner of El Sombrero Restaurant, a place you got to check out. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Tell me, okay, so let's get into El Sombrero a little bit, because number one, I went there at night. I went there during the day, so I got to try both your lunch and dinner menus. Mm-hmm. I loved them both. At one time I went, I was strictly dieting, so I couldn't really remember.
That's
that.
Right. Yes.
No more of that.
That day?
I think a lime.
Water? Yeah, water and a lime.
Yeah, maybe a scoop of salsa. But I had everything for dinner, because when I went with my publicist, he likes to order nearly everything on the menu so he can try a bunch of things. What are your favorite items on the menu, and what would you recommend?
Look, the most important thing to know about our menu is that we use fresh ingredients.
Yes, okay? You do.
No canned salsas or anything like that.
And you're always running to the market, right?
Well, yes, I know, because everything's fresh,
right?
Yeah. You know, and so that's the important thing to know, because you know, when we get back from, you know, shopping, we do it like 2 to 3 times a week. But I mean, we come back with, you know, I mean, carts filled with nothing but vegetables and fruits and that kind of a thing, you know, because we roast all of our veggies for our sauces, our salsas, and that sort of a thing.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that's important to know, because, you know, you really don't know what you're getting out there in terms of, you know, the restaurants and stuff. You know, they're always cutting back on their quality and things like that. That's something that we don't do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, cutting back, it brings me to the next one on quality, mm-hmm. right? So you are a small business owner, mm-hmm. and you, especially in the last 8 years of the Barack Obama administration, with the high taxes, Obamacare, for example, which might not impact you because you don't have enough employees.
Right.
But there's also this talk, like the lovely Hispanic male that was protesting your business that I saw a picture of him flipping you off with a bullhorn, and his t-shirt says fight for 15.
Right.
And we've been taken over by, I call them the Marxists in the Nevada legislature, who are now passing all sorts of crazy bills. And one of them is for a $15 minimum wage. That's forthcoming. Tell us how, as a small business owner, that would basically decimate your business.
Well, it's not good. It's not good for the business owner, and it's not good for the consumer either, because listen, I try to pay my employees as much as I possibly can, because my employees are family to me. You know, they're when they.
How many employees do you have?
Oh, I have about 10.
10, yeah.
You
so
know?
It's a smaller business, yeah.
Yeah, I want them to do well, okay? A healthy employee is, you know, is good for business, okay? The problem is that the economy is not where it needs to be yet. It's getting there, and I have full confidence that, you know, this president is going to do amazing things for our economy. So I'm very excited about that. But it's not there yet, and it hasn't been, you know, good, you know, for the last several years. And so what happens is that, you know, if there's not enough business, and we are mandated to pay $15 an hour, we have to adjust. All we're going to do is cut back on labor costs, you know, and that means that it's bad for the employee, too, because they lose out on hours,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we have to shave back somewhere.
Just like the Obamacare mandate, whereby all the employers that were required, you know, under Obamacare,
yeah.
right, they were only offering people 30 hours, because at 40 hours, it was like the new taxes kicked in, right? So everyone could find part-time work, but no one could find full-time work.
Well, and I had a part-time person that used to have a full-time job at the Mandalay Bay. And as soon as Obamacare kicked in, he went from a full-time employee to a part-time employee. So these poor people are now having to have, you know, like 2 to 3 jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, part-time jobs to equal the kind of pay that they were making as a full-time employee. So, you know, it wreaks havoc on their personal lives. And I think it was just not a smart thing to do. And what's happening with this $15, you know, push and these activists, I mean, clearly these activists, I will bet money that they've never owned a business, you know, that they really don't understand the ramifications.
Community organizers never do.
Yeah,
do
no, they, yeah, exactly. It's unfortunate, because they're causing more damage to the people that they say that they claim to care about. They're the ones that are going to be affected by, you know, what they're pushing. Honestly.
Well, when you see the Culinary Union, for mm-hmm. example, with all of their matching shirts and all of their matching slogans mm-hmm. and, you know, getting out the vote in droves and demanding $15 an hour. Now, you're in culinary, right? You're not part of the union.
Right.
But how does this they do it in order to get probably more dues, right? So the higher if their employees or their union members are making $15 an hour and they get a 10% cut,
correct.
You know, from $7.50 an hour, they just doubled their dues per person.
Right. So, correct. I mean, listen, this whole thing, I'm so against all of this because I think you should just let the market sort itself out. Because what happens when the economy is doing great, you know, we have to compete for good employees, right? So actually, I don't even think I pay anybody, you know, none of my employees make less than $15 an hour, really, because at the end of the day, when you have like a server, you know, or a busser that makes, you know, the minimum wage plus tips, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, instead of making $15 an hour, they're actually at 20 some odd dollars an hour.
Right.
So
that's why I waitress since I was 14.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good. It can be very good money, honestly.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I just it's just going to hurt the employee. It's going to hurt the business. It's going to hurt the consumers because we have to bump up our prices in order to, you know, make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're drowning in regulations and, you know, this kind of a thing. For example, just today, you know, we have a regulation that, you know, if you have like most restaurants and bars have soda machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to have a CO2 tank, right? Well, now that it's regulated that we are mandated to have a CO2 monitor. Okay, so just in case, you know, the CO2 is escaping or whatever. So just for precautions, now we have to do that. Okay, fine, great. So now this new regulation requires me to go get this new CO2 monitor, except for that costs like $1,200 to install, you know? And so it's just we're constantly being hammered every single month. It seems like something comes up, you know?
Is this a state regulation that was just passed down or federal?
I believe so. I have to check into that, but I just learned about it, you know, when, you know, my local
And these are all costs, right, yeah. These are all costs that you aren't expecting.
Little things like that. So
nickel and dime.
Yeah, nickel and diming us to death. You know, do you know that I can't even put a... you know, now open sign or margaritas specials for, you know, for happy hour today without, I can't just slap up a sign, a little banner up on my building to say that. No, I have to go pull a permit and then they, you know, it's like a $60 or $100 or something to that effect. I mean, just little things like that, that people don't realize. We get hammered. And then this $15 an hour on top of it. I mean, how do little businesses like mine survive under all of these regulations, under all of these mandates? But, you know, you have bureaucrats, you know, up north that have never owned a business. You know, in theory, the $15 an hour sounds great, but at the end of the day, it's going to hurt everybody. Trust me.
Well, I loved having you on, and I hope you come on again. Yeah, and thank you. And I want to encourage everyone to go to 807 South Main Street, El Sombrero Restaurant. Grab a bite to eat and a good margarita. Your margaritas are great.
Yeah, because they're fresh.
They're fresh. They're fresh. And Irma Aguirre is fresh. I love her. All right, folks, I'll be right back after this break. And at 4 o'clock, Wayne Allen Root comes in, so don't go anywhere. 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Megan Barr at TheReaganBabe.com, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live from Las Vegas and in 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. Joining me in the last two segments was Irma Aguirre, small business owner, Latina, who lives in Las Vegas, owns El Sombrero Restaurant, 807 South Main Street, for some of the freshest and best Mexican food you've ever had. And believe me, I'm a connoisseur when it comes to eating. When I can eat, I eat. So I was very happy to have her to get her perspective. And, you know, she was one of us on the right who, because we have a difference of opinion on the size and footprint of government, because we have a different opinion on who we chose to be the leader of the free world this last election, we are oftentimes assaulted, accosted, violently approached, disparaged, threatened. And this all comes from the tolerant progressives that they are. And many of them, as I was talking to Irma Aguirre, are community organizers. That's what Barack Obama was. And so if you think that these protests are going to die down, especially those of the resist movement, that the ACLU is funding, don't you'll be sorely mistaken. And the reason being is because that's all the left really knows how to do. Last week, Wayne Allen Root was asking the question, and I don't know if he got any answers, is what have the Democrats done for small business owners? What have the Democrats really done for business owners in general, except send out their lackeys, their violent lackeys, to protest these businesses and to demand $15 an hour minimum wage, which would decimate and cause great harm to not only the business, but the employees. If you have 10 employees making $8.50 an hour with tips making $20, and then all of a sudden the minimum wage is jacked to $15 an hour, well, then you're going to have maybe three employees, right? I mean, so that's what happens. You know, these fight for 15ers, that are part of the Culinary Union and Plan Nevada and all the leftist George Soros funded organizations in this state, they don't either understand economics or they just simply are socialists. And I believe it's the latter. And when you look at the Washington Examiner yesterday, and I pulled this piece off for you, you aren't going to believe these numbers. Forget about $15 an hour. How about $15,000 a month to fight Trump? How about getting paid $15,000 a month to fight Trump? Headline, $15,000 a month offered to A teams to fight Trump agenda. It's by Paul Bedard of the Washington Examiner. A group known for its successes fighting digital wars, notably net neutrality, is offering $15,000 to activists who quit their job and form A teams to jump into a war on President Trump's agenda. Fight for the Future started in 2011 as a digital activist group. On Monday, issued the offer with this eye-catching opening: terrified about Trump? Quit your job, start an A-team, we'll fund it. We're currently taking applications for an initial launch of the project, and we'll be providing a few select teams with funding, guidance, and support, said Evan Greer, campaign director for Fight for the Future. Our goal is to spawn a movement of small, dedicated groups of people using the tactics that we've used effectively to defend internet freedom to win major victories in other issues areas affecting our basic rights and freedom, such as immigration, shocker, freedom of press, police brutality, drug reform, and government corruption. Where were these people during the Obama administration? It is just the latest effort by activists to fund the anti-Trump movement. Greer compared the groups to tactical special operations forces. I'm sorry, but you know what, pal? Why don't you go join, or at least try to get selected for a special operations force? He said the A-teams, presumably styled like the famed TV team, is there going to be a Mr. T, are an attempt to help incubate other special ops activist teams to tackle major issues against the backdrop of unprecedented threats in the Trump area. Oh, the terror. The online application and sales job includes a photo from the classic anti-Barry Goldwater ad of 1964, in which the world is nuked if he's elected. It urges potential activists to quit and get working against Trump. Unbelievable. A few of the initial A-teams will receive a $15,000 check for their first month. Let's see how this reads. We're still working out the details, but if you got a strong 2 to 3 person A-team and a target, we give you $15,000 right now for the first month just to see what you can do. If you make a big splash or measurable impact on your target in that time, we're pretty sure we can find you more. Now, okay, it's Tuesday, right? This reminds me of the old quote in Popeye that says, like, kind of give me for a hamburger today, I'll pay you on Tuesday or something like that. It's what was that kid's name? I don't remember anyway. But here's the Democrats. We're going to give you everything up front. We're going to give you $15,000. And it goes dark because they can't promise anything beyond their good intentions. You know, this is the Democrats' mantra, but it feels good. Let's do it. Don't worry about the results. Like Obamacare, You know, don't look at the fact that when Obamacare was passed, 8 million people lost their health care and their doctor and their insurance. Because the promise of Obamacare was so much bigger, right? Everybody's going to have health care. And no one does. So now they want everyone to quit their jobs. This, what is it? Some kind of freedom, something or other. Fight for the future. Fight for the future. Fight for the future. Quit your jobs and fight for the future. Make $15,000 after that. We don't know. You know, you might be on your own. So the issues that this fight for the future wants to target are health care and the ACA. Again, where were they during Obama? Oh, the climate. Of course. Of course, they're going to fight the climate. They have no control over the climate. They need to control it. So they're going to fight the climate or fight for climate or whatever. Immigration, yes, open walls. And, of course, they want to fight against the wall. Corruption, racism, fascism, police, prisons, ending the drug war, foreign policy, internet, telecom, competition, impeachment, economic populism, and renewable energy. Well, that's a long laundry list, isn't it? They're going to be awfully busy. You know, I'm going to have to look into Paul Greer, and maybe on Thursday when I'm back, I'm going to see who funds Paul and if he's making $15,000 a month from Soros or something. This is going to get juicy. And it's going to get even more juicy when Wayne Allyn Root takes this mic in a couple minutes. So stay tuned. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Thanks for this hour. I'll be back on Thursday. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks.
All right, Wayne Allyn Root, welcome to War Now. Megan Barth in with me, as always, at Hello. The beginning of the 4 o'clock hour, after doing a wonderful hour to start. Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
Wayne Allyn Root, your middle-class warrior, relentless freedom fighter, capitalist evangelist, conservative rock star, and all-around lovable badass. What's this war good for? God, guns, gold, tax cuts, term limits, and Trump. That's how we save America, capitalism, and American exceptionalism. Call-in number. Anywhere in the United States now, 844-WAR-NOW-1, 844-TOLL-FREE, WAR-NOW-1, 844-927-6691, numerically. You can listen online at 790 Talk Now. You can listen to any shows you missed at my YouTube channel, War Now Radio. And this show is sponsored by Swiss America, the gold standard, the number one precious metals company in America. Contact Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN or go to SwissAmerica.com. This is almost April 1st, which means April 15th is right around the corner, and that means tax day. And so you will need an IRA or a SEP IRA, and it should be in physical gold or silver. You can only get it at Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, 800-BUY-COIN. All right, so normally in the 4 o'clock hour, I do the world-famous Root Rant, but when Megan is here, we chat a bit together about some of the news headlines and things going on in the world today. By the way, the single biggest problem in the world today, other than Democrats, loony, unhinged, crazy Democrats, would have to be North Korea. They are
talking about loony Democrats.
They're threatening.
Kim Jong-un would run under the Democrat Party if he.
And he'd win.
Party.
He'd win.
Oh, he would totally win. Yeah.
Because the
diversity.
average
we need diversity.
The average Democratic voter would say, he sounds great to me.
Right. Yeah, it's wonderful.
You ever see those Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC late night, and Jimmy Kimmel goes out and does a man on the street on Hollywood Boulevard?
Oh, yeah.
And nobody ever knows who any of the politicians are they're voting for. So they showed a picture of Joe Biden, and not one person had any idea who he was. He's been vice president for 8 years, or he was vice president for 8 years. Not one person on Hollywood Boulevard knew who he was. But more importantly, one black guy took a look at the picture and said, oh, that's got to be a Republican. And he said, why is that? He's an old white man. That's got to be a man who hates Obama. That's what he said. He's got to be. He's white and he's old. So he must be a Republican who hates Obama.
And stereotypes are racist.
Yeah. So, you know, if they showed a picture of Kim Jong-un, they go, oh, he's a good Democrat, man. He's
right.
A good guy.
Oh, he's wonderful. It's
diversity. He's Asian. It's
right.
Diverse.
You know, and
it's
he saves electricity by, you know, shutting off half the electricity. I mean, he's really good when it comes to climate change because the whole entire country is dark.
It's starving to death
and
freezing.
And they only have one channel. Right. Yes. He is.
Well, he's good for, you know, that cows.
Less people.
Cows cause climate change by farting.
Right.
So there are no cows and there is no food.
And there's no food.
So there's no pollution. It's great.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, and less
all's
people,
good.
The happier the Democrats.
Yes.
But they never go first when it comes to the climate change, saving the climate. Because if they claim that people are the problems with that
climate change deal, right? Then why don't they go first? There's plenty of cliffs. There's plenty of way.
Well, in Korea, in North Korea, they are going first.
He's
killing them left and right.
He feeds his brother.
He feeds them to wild dogs and boars. His own brother. He killed, but in Malaysia with the shot. But with the they wiped some poison.
They wiped his poison.
Yes, but there was a general that he decided was not loyal, or there was something he said he just didn't like. And he fed him to, I guess, called feral pigs. Like 80 of them just attacked him and ripped him to shreds and ate him. That must have been a nice
thing. Wasn't it in Reservoir Dogs?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so North Korea is the perfect liberal society.
It is.
It's absolutely perfect.
Absolutely. Everyone lives in the dark.
It's green energy at its finest. Everyone's freezing. And, you know, in America, Harry Reid likes windmills, things like that that don't work, that government subsidies pay for, that create almost no energy. But in North Korea, they probably take somebody they don't like, they shoot him in the head, and they tape him to windmill, and he goes around and around and around. And that's their source of energy. So it's great. It's perfect for liberals. I thought what else was great in the news was Sean Diddy Combs' Revolt TV music channel. I didn't know he had a TV music channel named Revolt TV, but then I'm not 18 and hip. Is being sued because white workers claim they were victims of reverse racism.
I read that headline.
Five white men who produced broadcasts of the popular morning show for Revolt TV owned by Sean Diddy Combs, alleged papers filed in the Manhattan Supreme Court, they were victims of racism. Revolt treated them worse than other employees who were younger and or African American. The 39 years or older group claims they were not treated the same as other black employees, despite their experience having produced years of episodes of the Howard Stern Show. And so, very interesting. And I found that in my life, in my career, by the way. You know, I grew up in a all-black town, Mount Vernon, New York. I was majority black. And I went to an all-black high school, 90% black. And I was tortured. I was beat up. I was threatened. I was chased home from school. Not this. You're laughing. These are knives and guns. They were torturing me with little, they were throwing little pelts at me. They had knives and guns. And I was almost killed three times, including with a machete.
It made you the man who you are today.
It did.
Right?
It did. A machete the third time.
A machete?
To cut my head off. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So here's the story. Wait, you want to hear the story?
Were they Islamists?
So no. So I was in the process of becoming, I went from the guy who got chased to a guy who lifted weights all summer and got really big and learned
Fabio
how to fight.
Body.
And I walked in and I was really kind of rough and I hung out with the rough Italian guys. You know, it was 85% black and 15% Italian and one Jew, me. And I hung out with the Italian guys and they wanted me to become a marshal, which is the policeman of the school. And you get a badge and you have free access to the whole school. You could do whatever you want. So I'm there during the bell is rung, it's class time, and the hallways have to be empty. You have to be in class. I'm patrolling the hallway alone with just my badge. They give you a badge, Jew and a badge. No gun, no knife, just a badge. What's a Jew supposed to do with a badge, right? So that doesn't work well. So anyway, I see a kid in the hallway. He's black, and he's smoking pot. He's just standing there smoking pot, leaning up against the glass door. So I went to the glass door, and I kicked it hard, and he fell down on the ground and tumbled on the ground. And when he got up, he pulled a machete out of his long overcoat and charged at me.
Oh, my.
And so now I'm on the ground fighting for my life. The machete is an inch from my head. My hands are on his hands, and he's trying to stick it through my brain or through my eyes. And the machete's getting closer and closer. By the way, I know it's a machete because eventually the long end of the story is I won, and I didn't die, obviously, and there's no hole in my head, so I didn't die. You get it. When we went to court, it was identified as a machete. Anything that's 9 inches or longer of a knife is defined by New York law as a machete. He was sentenced to, I believe, 3 years at a juvenile facility. And then 4 years later, after he got out, I saw his name one more time in the newspaper, killed in a car chase with police after raping a woman. So he was headed for very bad things. But my life was spared when at the moment it looked like, I wasn't winning, by the way, at the moment it looked like he was going to shove that knife through the Jew's head. At that moment, a black principal came out of his office and screamed, "Hey you, what are you doing? Drop that knife!" And he dropped it and ran. That's what saved my life. And the principal came over, grabbed me, and the two of us chased him down, and I almost died a second time. We chased them directly into an area where no one was supposed to be, and his gang was there. cutting class. And eight guys, all with knives pulled out, switchblades, surrounded me and the high school principal, the black principal. I had my back to the principal, and the two of us were ready to fight eight people with knives. And at that moment, the bell rang for class to end, and everybody came flooding out. And when everyone came flooding out, they dispersed and ran. And we grabbed him, brought him to the office. That kid saved my life, because guess what the result of the whole story was? The principal calls my parents in, and I'm thinking, did I get in trouble? What did I do? And tells him he's a member of a gang, and it doesn't matter what I do with this kid. He's expelled for life in this school, but his gang members are going to stick Wayne in the back with a knife, right. And there's nothing I could do to stop it. There ain't no way he's surviving a week. That was that principal talk. There ain't no way he's surviving a week in this school. So my parents went to my grandfather. My father was a butcher, had no money. My grandfather owned the butcher store. That's why ownership is everything in life. Mm-hmm. That's why small businessmen, you know, a lot better to be an owner than ever work for anybody. He'd always own. He had enough money, my grandfather. He wasn't rich, but he had enough money that he could pay for me to go to a private school, which turned out to be the swankiest private school in Westchester County, New York. And I went overnight from this jungle of death to this all-white, spoiled brat, privileged high school where every kid had a multi-zillionaire father, and I just took like a fish to water.
And you were an SOB, became, a son of a butcher.
Became friends with all of them, learned fast, graduated valedictorian, got accepted at Columbia University, and never looked back. That
and
kid,
it all started with a badge
that kid
and a
saved
joint.
My life. That kid and his joints and his machete were the best thing that ever happened to me. How's that for a story?
Do you still have the badge?
I don't have the badge. It was kind of like the ending of Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry. I tossed it into the Hudson as far as I could toss it and said, F you, have a nice life. I'm
you
done
cut
with
out
that
for police
bull.
Work.
I was not cut out for police work. No, they don't allow, that's why they don't allow Jews in police work. Did you know that? I'm just kidding. My uncle was actually a leading detective in Brooklyn, New York, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, top, top detective. But very rare that you have Jewish detectives in the police force in those days. Maybe things have changed today, but in those days, I think he was the only Jewish detective in Brooklyn, I believe. But I do have a bloodline that fights, see?
Yes.
I have a fighting
well, you've
bloodline.
You've always been a fighter.
A fighting Jew. You're sitting with
when
a fighting Jew.
When you grow up, like a fighting Jew with a badge.
It's like a Jew crossed with a pit bull. I'm a fighting Jew, okay? Megan's always entertained by my stories.
I am. Do you have a lot of them?
I do have a lot of stories.
My gang members wearing a badge,
and all these stories are real. And they made me the person I am today. What can I tell you?
I've had a lot of great stories. I realized just how boring of a life I've led.
I have had a lot of great stories, man. I've had a crazy life. Do you know when I was 23, I owned one of the top nightclubs in the world? Did you know that? 23 years old, and I bought Xenon Nightclub in New York City. Which Studio 54 and Xenon were the two big nightclubs. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I've never done a drug in my life. Never done cocaine.
I grew up in the wrong era. I really did.
Anyway, that's the story for today. Glad you were all able to share that. We've got Paula in watching the show. Thank you for being here, Paula. One of the fans of this show who emailed me and said, I want to come in. I'm dying to watch this show because I just love your show. And so I said, great, come on in. And she's here watching the show. And she is a very nice lady.
How do you know she's normal?
Because she is. I just spent a half hour talking to her before the show.
Oh, well, I know,
showed up
like,
early to meet her.
Invite them
she's
in.
A great, great
I'm not
lady.
Saying you're abnormal, Paula. I'm just saying, like, how do you check? Like, people that.
Someday someone's going to kill me. She could be the killer. I don't know, but I don't
She'll
think
beat
so.
You over the head with her basket.
She could be the one. She's the reason I'm getting the CCW permit. Is that why? All right. Wayne Allyroot, War Now. Megan Barr, thanks for great being in for the show again.
Always.
And allowing me to get all my business done. Today it wasn't a workout. Today we had a business meeting with a new client, ate right down the street at a beautiful restaurant called Panavino, right on this corner.
Oh, I love
Panavino. Panavino's
they're,
great.
They're going to advertise, yeah?
No, I wasn't here for Panavino. I was here for a new client eating at Panavino.
Oh, I love Panavino.
I should have spoken to Panavino about advertising while I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it, but Panavino is great food, and it's the only restaurant in all of Las Vegas where I can get my favorite New York Italian meal, chicken cacciatore. And they don't have it on the menu. They make it in the back for me.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Thank you, Panavino, for a little bit of home chicken cacciatore. It reminded me of almost being killed by the machete.
I was gonna say.
A little bit of New York home, baby. All right. When we come back, we'll have lots more. We've got guests. We'll take calls. Call the number 844-WARN-OUT-1, 844-WARN-OUT-1. Toll-free call anywhere in the United States of America. Megan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Always love having Megan here.
Love being
and,
here.
And we love having you here, and we love having all of you listening here. We love having Paula watching. Good fans coming in who I don't believe for a second wants to kill me. I think she only has good intentions. What do you think?
I think
but
so,
just
too.
In case, Charlie, Frisker, I'm Wayne Allyroot. War Now. We shall return.